2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Pleasure to have you here. Really glad to have Charlie Dennings back in studio with us this morning. I still don't get this attraction to camping in the wintertime. I've done it accidentally, really, where you get stuck somewhere and you end up spending the night, but I've never done it intentionally. And if you do it intentionally, it's probably a better idea.
I was introduced to this concept at the age of 12. Not knowing how cold it really gets in the mountains, and on a Boy Scout hike into the San Gregorio Wilderness in Southern California.
The what?
San Gregorio. Anyway.
Who would have known?
No, I mean, the snow was 6 feet deep. Of course, it was all ice by the time we were up there, and slowly but surely our campfire sunk down into the snow, and we just had cheap sleeping bags and cheap tents, you know, and froze.
Let me ask you this, because you've both led scouting trips. In that time that I was mentioning last half hour that I first chatted with Charlie, was a scouting trip, I think. Mm. Didn't you have to bail in the middle of the night on that one because kids were freezing their tails off?
Not on that one.
But you have in the past.
Yes.
But moms and dads will send kids out there with literally
nothing.
Nothing.
Tennis shoes.
That's crazy.
Cotton socks.
I mean, understand it.
Cotton sleeping bags. Yeah. No warm clothes. No layers. No nothing.
And one thing, if you're going to go play in the outdoors, particularly camping, you really must have the proper clothing, the proper tents, the proper sleeping bags. Navi says it all the time. No such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes.
That's so far from the truth.
Really?
No.
You've gotten away with bad clothes,
lots of
layered bad clothes?
Talk about the Madison River in the winter fishing.
Oh, yeah.
That was cold.
That was really cold.
Yeah.
And one of my worst days of fishing, I think. My hands were so numb I couldn't thread the line, and I certainly couldn't tie a knot. So I felt like a little kid asking for help every time I broke a line
off. That's brutal.
But it starts with gear, right?
It does. Like we've talked about, we've got the greatest snow on earth here, and there's some activities that we can do here in Utah if you are prepared. One of my favorite mountaineers that lives up in Garland, he says cotton kills. Yeah. And you just never forget that.
That's because if you sweat, it gets wet, and then you really get cold.
Yes, it doesn't wick. And so stay away from cotton. But it can be really enjoyable if you have the right clothing. Not only the right clothing, you've got to do layers. You've got to have some of the big mistakes that I see is that people underestimate their sleeping mat. You don't use that
off the ground.
Z-Rest, you know, or something like that for summer. No, I go with the Goose Down Field in the Chambers X-Bed Down Air Mat, which we sell. But they're good to minus 40, and they keep you warm. And if you don't, you'll lose a lot of heat down underneath you. The other thing is that you got to have a good sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And I have margins. In other words, I plan for 20 degrees colder than what they forecast. I've been stuck in situations where in March up Logan Canyon, it got down to minus 21.
Ooh.
And it was the coldest night of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But we just didn't expect it because the sky cleared off right after a storm and the temperature just plummeted.
Yeah.
Last thing is that the tent has to be a four-season tent where you don't just have screen, but you've actually got an extra panel of fabric to stop the breeze, the ventilation.
Yeah.
So there's, anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking back on our trip to Alaska, Russ, and we were there in the summertime.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the constant rain all day long and a breeze, it gets cold. And at night, I guess I didn't realize, and it's been a long time since I
tent camped. Mm-hmm. But just getting you off of the ground, even though you're inside a tent, you've got a sleeping bag, getting you off of the ground makes so much difference.
Yes.
Not just in comfort, but warmth.
Yeah. I've even tested sleeping bags out on a snowmobile trailer in Logan, got down to 15 below zero.
You have weird hobbies.
I do. But I had this mummy bag that was cinched up around my face, and my nose was the only thing sticking out. But we were just testing, you know, seeing if the ratings were true or not. One thing I just thought of that I wanted to mention is that if you go on an overnight excursion like Peter Sinks or something like that, right, is that you can't use a canister stove. They're not made for wintertime. A lot of people don't know that.
Russ didn't
they don't
know
stay
that.
They don't stay yeah. lit or
well you're the liquid inside the canister
freezes.
Doesn't turn to gas.
Oh.
And we were in a situation where my son had to put his bare hands around the canister to warm it up enough to get that jet boil to work.
Yeah.
The best stoves are like a Whisper Light or even better an MSR XGK. I mean, they sound like a jet engine.
What's the brand on that?
MSR, Mountain States Research.
Okay.
And that's a lot of mountaineers swear by them, but man, they sound like a turbine. I mean, you got to yell at each other to hear, but they work. And they put out a lot of BTUs.
The only reason to plan a trip, I would think, to the Sinks is just an endurance test, right?
Yeah, just to make sure that you're prepared. You know, what if your car stalls, you know, and you're going through Wyoming?
You know, speaking of the guy from the Cowboys day. Yeah. I don't know, what was the other question I was going to ask you? I mean... Most of the people I know don't plan trips this time of year, but the thing that worries me is it's one thing if you come up short with gear or communication systems or food or clothing in the summertime. It's a whole other story in the wintertime because your margin of error is so small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can get yourself in real trouble in a big hurry.
You know, it's really fascinating. People, like, you know, I do have weird hobbies, but... growing up in Wyoming, I'd board the school bus. It was minus 40 back in the 70s, and everything is different. You have to cover your bare skin. You wear glove liners. You never let your fingers be exposed.
Yeah.
The snow will squeak because it's so mm-hmm. dry mm-hmm. and so cold. And you've got to cover your face, your nose. You don't breathe in that sub-zero air.
What part of that is fun to go camping in?
I don't know. It's just cool. There's no mosquitoes.
You know, the other thing, take into consideration, wind is your enemy.
Yeah.
You got to get out of the wind. It just sucks everything right out
yeah.
of you.
One thing good about here in Utah is it is dry compared to like Wisconsin or Minnesota. Right.
So it's a dry cold.
Yeah.
Kind of like a dry heat.
Yeah.
I remember this is football season. I remember when the Utes and the Cougs and the Cowboys all used to be in the same conference. And the colder, the better, not only for the football team in mm-hmm. Wyoming, but for the fans. And we'd be bundled up like crazy, and their guys are running around pregame with their shirts off.
That's so
what?
Crazy.
We're in trouble today, guys. They love getting football teams that aren't used to that weather over there.
I remember, I think it was 1981 in Laramie at War Memorial Stadium. They've got a sign up there that says, welcome to 7,200 feet. And it was snowing like crazy. And BYU and Jim McMahon came over. And by halftime, there was 6 inches of snow on the ground.
And they still beat you like a drum.
No. Wyoming beat BYU.
Really?
Because their receivers, Kozlowski, couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
And you thought it was the Super Bowl because the Wyo fans were so excited. But it was awesome.
Yeah. Because you have weird hobbies, it's going to be the benefit of people that are out there because what you've done is you've surrounded yourself and your business with stuff that's going to keep you warm and keep you safe and dry.
Yes.
And you know, right up front, I'll tell people that this stuff is a little more expensive.
Yes.
But if your life is on the line and you want something that you're not going to have to replace annually, this is the stuff you need to look at. If you're going to be serious about it for a long period of time in your life.
Western Mountaineering bags, they're made in San Jose. And they get the best goose down from Poland. And are they expensive? Yep. But what's your life worth? You know?
Yeah.
And it has 12 inches of loft, and I can't wait to use it.
What's the guarantee and warranty on a lot of this stuff?
Oh, lifetime. In those higher-end companies, they're lifetime. If you have any issues at all, they have Nordstrom quality customer service.
Yeah. Mm. And if people want information on where to find you?
Call me. I have a website, BearRiverOutfitters.com, but call me at 435-764-1111. We've been in business 20 years, and I field tested nearly everything that we sell.
Yeah, and so sleeping bags, we established, tents.
Tents.
You have backpacks?
Oh, yes, Osprey.
Osprey backpacks. Uh-huh. Do you sell the stoves you were talking about?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, and if you don't have it, I guess you can order it for
right.
people.
Kind of like Smith and Edwards, you know, can't really shade there.
And the website again?
BearRiverOutfitters.com. Feel free to call me. Like I said, we live in a great state. I mean, get out 12 months of the year.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a break here. We'll do that. We'll come back with Fish Bites. So don't go away.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Let me tell you a story about a little fella. Black and blue with a hand of yellow. The bluegill boogie. Yeah, the bluegill boogie.
Bluegill boogie.
Bass ain't fighting and the trout's gone. Try the bluegill boogie.
You can't go wrong.
Let me apologize to the listeners. I usually try to turn the volume of the music up loud enough that you can't hear these guys do this. Look, before we get to Fish Bites information, and quite frankly, I don't think any of us have been on the water in the last week or so to give you firsthand reports, but we can get some information
right.
for you. I neglected, and I apologize, but we were short on time. I neglected in our news of the week to let you fill in the blank. And the Division of Wildlife actually posted this question on their Facebook, and I shared it on our Facebook page. The thing I like most about Utah in the fall is blank. Navi.
The change. We get to fish differently. We get to go to football games. We get to sleep well in the morning. We get to see the leaves. We want to play golf, and we can't wait for skiing.
We were looking
pretty much didn't leave anything for the rest
of
us.
We were going
to
leave one.
I like the fall TV programs.
I mean, what else is there?
Blacklist is back on TV.
What do you got? What are you doing?
I love the change of weather, the cool nights, warm days.
You and I have something in common because I grew up in Southern California.
Yeah,
so did you.
No seasons there.
I can't imagine going back to a place where I didn't have a change of seasons.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Sound of the ocean, leaves on the trees year-round.
I still don't think I'd like it.
I agree with that. Look, we're so excited for summer to get here. Now we're so excited for fall to get here because we're so excited for winter to get here. So the point is, which is best? And the answer is change is best.
Yeah. Hunters out there, I'm sure, would tell you that fall means they get to get back out in the field, and that would be their draw. But, Charlie, what about you?
I like the bugling of elk.
Yeah.
Did you see the video we posted last week of the fly fisherman with the giant elk in the river next to him?
Yeah, that's so nice.
Amazing.
Bugled right in his ear.
Yeah, it really sends chills up your spine.
You get out and fish this time of year on a regular basis or no?
Not on a regular basis, but I do. It's, you know, it's just...
You got that secret place, remember? When they come up to spawn that you're not talking about. Remember that, Charlie? You talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Do you remember me calling from Hardware Ranch in the fall?
I do.
Going into the show live.
Yeah.
And you could hear in the background the bugles going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great time.
I think...
And people would think that in the winter, wildlife go away. You know, you think of the bears that go into hibernation or something, but it might be one of the best times to view wildlife.
Absolutely.
Because it's so quiet and there's so few people that are out there. You aren't competing with the masses to go see and enjoy what you want to see.
That's the allure of hunting, too.
Yeah.
It's being out there. It's the trees. You don't care if you see an animal. You're having a great time out on the mountain.
The beauty of fall and winter for wildlife observation is the fact that the foliage is gone and there's no place for them to hide hardly.
That's true, too.
Moose everywhere.
Yeah.
Not here necessarily, but Wyoming and Montana.
Fishing gets better, too. And then the leaves reflecting on the water.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't get better.
And with Yusuke here, for me, one of the things I love about the fall is that you can ride your bike down on those trails with some of those changing colors. There's another reason for you to stay, Yusuke, and not leave.
That's going to be a good idea, yeah.
Of course, that's not really a mountain bike you're riding either. I don't know if I'd want to take that bike on those mountain trails with the change of the weather. All right, there are so many reasons to enjoy living in Utah this time of year and just the perfect temperatures. We had a string of days that were all in the mid-70s, and it was still warm enough for me to ride the motorcycle in at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
We call that leather weather.
It is leather weather.
Yes, it is.
You can ride safely and still be comfortable.
Fishing, Tim, is picking up big time in the lakes. And the reason why is the stratification of the water. We have different temperatures now at every single level. And the cool temperatures are shallow, so the fish are in close. This is the best time if you're a lake fisherman to go by far. And it doesn't get the pressure because people are turning to hunting. But get out. I mean, we're always talking about the rivers, but let's talk about the lakes right now. You can get them from the shore. Get those kids out there. Get a bubble going and just throw it offshore. The fish are cruising the shallows. And the reason why they're cruising the shallows is because there's a lot of forage. So this is a great time to get out.
Are they stocking up for winter as far as putting on fat?
No, yes, they are, but I'm going, where are those birds coming from?
Russ is making sound effects over here, and you think your phone's ringing.
I think those are great. I'm impressed, Russ.
We need a video of this, actually.
Well, next time I do a video, you can be my sound effects guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right, here's the other thing, and I know I bring this up every year about this time, but Drew Cushing used to say that the weather, or the ice, actually, leading into the winter, is a great equalizer. But the weather really is, for guys or gals out there that haven't been able to have much success through the warmest part of the summer with your shore fishing.
Right.
Man, it's time to get back up there and fish
on
the shore.
This is when you go fishing. Everybody thinks it's a summer endeavor. It's not. It's a fall endeavor. This is when you go fishing.
Yeah. All right. That's your Fish Bites for another week, along with a little talk about fall in Utah. And we're going to break for news at the top of the hour. On the other side, we'll look forward to checking in with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Stop it. One of their conservation officers will join us in just a couple of minutes, and we'll talk about the ways you can get yourself in trouble without really meaning to out there fishing or hunting in the fall. So don't go away.
You can. So Bubba said, show around, tournament time. Got himself a new reel and some high performance line. And the weekend was over.